This episode of the Energy Stoners Cafe is sponsored by the Black Arts Matter Network, blackartsmatter.net. This episode is an excerpt from my public access TV show, Talk with TQ. Welcome to the Energy Stoners Cafe. My name is Toni Quest, and I'm really happy that you're here. I like to interview the most interesting people I can find on the planet. So grab a cup of coffee, sit down, relax, and listen. You're going to find that these guests are so intriguing, you'll wonder why you didn't know about them before. Hi, everybody. Welcome back. As always, I'm going to live up to my promise of bringing you the most interesting people I can find on the planet. Tonight, our guest is Andrea Sadler. She's an actress. She's also a transformational coach. I met her through public speaking at Toastmasters, and I was always very intrigued by her speeches. And she does speeches, a subject that not everybody embraces. She tends to lead towards the spiritual. And what also impresses me about her is that she's the leader. She leads a women's group, and it's a group that actually empowers people, empowers women to find their inner soulfulness, I guess. And she's done some speeches about this. Tonight, I'm going to talk to her about a speech she's going to be doing in front of an audience in a little while, and also talk about some of the things she has done. So welcome to the show, Andrea. You're here, finally.
Thank you for having me, Toni. I'm excited to be here.
And I'm excited to have you. I have to tell the audience again that when I've heard the things that the topics that you speak about at Toastmasters, which is like an open group of people that are into public speaking, the topics are always topics that touch my heart. Matter of fact, you did a speech last week and I commented on it and it brought out the singing in me. I had to sing and it was about soulfulness. So talk to me about the thing that you're going to be doing with the WYN. I wanted to interview you about it because you're going to be speaking on a subject once again that touches the heart, not just mine.
Well, thank you, Toni. So I was actually doing a competition with Toastmasters, and I won that competition. And right after that, I got an email from WYN Conferences saying, we hear you're a women's empowerment leader, and we'd like to know if you'd like to give a 25-minute speech in our international conference in New York City on July 14th and July 15th. And I was just elated because one of my dreams is to be an inspirational speaker on a global stage. And so I said yes, with a mixture of fear and excitement, because I've never given a 25-minute speech at a conference like that. The speech is going to be called Embody Your Soul, Elevate Your Purpose in Sacred Sisterhood and Sacred Brotherhood. And what you heard in Toastmasters was a section of that. And basically, I chose that subject because I feel from the journey that I've been on a spiritual creative journey my whole life. And there's actually a bird right at the window looking in right now.
It's a sign.
It's a sign. It's a good sign. So my whole life, I've been interested in how do we find balance living as spiritual beings in physical bodies? How do we live on earth in a sustainable way? And so when I was 21 years old in film production school back in Montreal, I was really wrestling with this question. And this part of my story is that I stayed up all night with this question, because I felt that we were on a path of self-destruction, as with each other, you know, war, people, and even more nowadays, it seems, than back in you know, the 80s when I went to film school, there's just this divisive vitriolic, people just say whatever they want without any care for another person's heart. And when I was making my documentary film, The Sacred Run, The Lotus and the Feather, I started out very idealistic. I was like, wow, we're like 80 people running across Japan to carry the message that all life is sacred. And it was a run organized by indigenous people. Dennis Banks was the leader of the sacred run, but it was founded by grandmothers and elders, grandfathers. So during the run, there were five women, no names mentioned, but five women decided to stick knives in my back over and over and over. And I, Tony, it just about destroyed me. I thought we were, you know, sisters, like that we're all running together for peace and environmental awareness. And I discovered that sometimes when you do things where you stand out a little, people want to attack you. And I didn't realize it at the time, but it precipitated my journey of healing. So in a way, I guess I can thank them. But at the time, it wasn't fun. But it really began my journey of healing. And I realized that if I wasn't feeling strong enough as an individual, and if I lacked confidence in the world, and you know, was afraid to speak my truth, share my film, share my message, and I played small, that it was just too scary to do something extraordinary. And so I started to shrink and shrink and shrink. And I actually got to a point where I became suicidal, because my film was about peace and environmental awareness and Indigenous people running their tradition of carrying the message from village to village. And when I made the film in 1995, that's when I filmed it, I came back to Montreal, and even the National Film Board said, oh, Mother Earth stuff is passé. Indigenous subjects are passé. And I felt like I was like on a different planet, because nobody seemed to care what was happening to the planet. And nobody seemed to understand why I was making a film called The Sacred Run, The Lotus and the Feather. And what kind of money am I going to get in return for this? And I never had the attitude of money. It was always about raising consciousness. So it took me 9 years to make that film. And the making of the film is what I call my deconstruction, reconstruction period, because I went so low that I wanted to die. But through therapy and prayer and meditation and journaling and, you know, support from books and whatever I could, you know, find anything to grab onto, I realized that I went through a healing, and I realized that I was my birth on Earth, that I was actually two cells that came together, and I had every right to be here just as much as a tree or a blade of grass. Because I was losing confidence in myself, because nobody seemed to understand what I was doing. So I went through my healing process, and it's, you know, there's a whole lot more to this story, but I know we don't have a lot of time. So one of the things that really affected me was the women stabbing me in the back. And in the last 3 years, I started facilitating women's circles, because I just felt this need that women needed a sacred space to share from the heart, not to take each other down out of jealousy and competition, but to share from our hearts and truly lift each other up. And we're in this time in the whole world is going through this, where the divine feminine energy is rising up, because we need to find balance on Earth between the masculine and the feminine. The patriarchy, you know, was it had its time, right? But now we need to find balance. And it's not about the matriarchy taking over. It's more about we need to find balance between the masculine and the feminine in each of us. So I need to heal my divine feminine, and I need to heal my divine masculine. So I started Women's Circles 3 years ago, and then I just launched a 9-week sister circle program called Activate, Align, Ascend. And we went through the chakras every week doing, I lead meditation, I lead shamanic drumming, we share, we write, we paint, we move, we dance, we sometimes paint on our faces, sometimes we paint on paper. It's a lot of fun. And we fall in love with each other. And I've seen these women blossom over the 9-week program. And at this speech that I'm giving, I'm launching a new program called Dragonfly Coaching Circles, where I'm going to have, if women just want to be with women, I'll have a women-only circle. But then I also want to open it up for the first time to men and women and LGBTQ, and, you know, everybody's welcome, where we can have deep, meaningful conversations with each other instead of just talking about like, oh my God, did you hear about the news? Blah, blah, blah. You know, like, let's talk about our heart and soul. And when you live in alignment with your soul, which is what I've been seeking my whole life as a spiritual seeker, I do live in alignment with my soul. And it's just so beautiful. Like, I feel, I can't even believe that I was suicidal, because I feel so joyous now. And I'm just excited about this energy of a lot of women are rising up, and men as well are doing a lot of healing work. So it's an exciting time, even though it's also, there's a lot of crazy, horrible, you know, things going on in the world as well. We have to stay centered.
I have to say that I feel that what you're doing is a necessity because of the things that everybody's going through collectively. Some people don't even realize they're going through it. But they're manifesting the result of some of the horrors that we see. And the Dragonfly group. Now, how did you come up with the why did you choose Dragonfly?
I'm so glad you asked.
Yeah. It's a beautiful insect.
Thank you. Well, I'm actually writing a book called I Am Dragonfly, and it's my spirit name is Dragonfly. But the reason Dragonfly is my spirit name and the name of my companies, Dragonfly Films, Dragonfly Circles, Dragonfly Coaching, is because when I was in Japan in pre-production for my film, making the Sacred Run film, a dragonfly landed on my third eye, and it stayed there for about 15 or 20 minutes.
Right here.
Yeah, right in my third eye, my forehead. And I had never had like a dragonfly on me in that way. You know, it was very special because it was right in the center of my forehead. So I took pictures, and then the next week I went to an Ainu festival in Japan, and the Ainu are the indigenous people of Japan. And this was a festival with indigenous elders and traditional songs and ceremonies. And I was singing, because I play guitar and sing as well. And I was singing a Joni Mitchell song, you know, Circle Game, caught a dragonfly inside the jar. And then as I was singing this, there are all these dragonflies around my microphone. And then right when I said dragonfly, like caught a dragonfly inside the jar, a giant one landed on the microphone and looked right at me. And I thought, whoa, that's cool. You know, that's interesting. And then the next morning I was laying on the ground and another dragonfly landed on my third eye.
Wow.
And this might sound strange to some people, but that's okay. I felt this energetic transference, and it was like a frequency that I felt. And I felt like I was being zapped. So I was like, whoa, what is this all about? So I looked up the symbolism of dragonfly, and dragonfly is all about transformation and seeing beyond the illusion. Dragonfly is about being able to move in any direction. It's between the water and the air, so it moves between realms. And the colors are iridescent and magical. And it was the national insect of Japan, and it's very sacred in the Navajo tradition as well. So that's when I always want to make films, or anything I do is about transformation. Like, if my middle name was other than Lynn, it would be Transformation, Andrea Transformation, Dragonfly Sadler.
It sounds like you've gone through a number of transformations, and it's sometimes people go through transformations and they don't even realize it's happening, but you're very conscious of it.
I've gone through many, many.
So what kind of things do you do in the group? Do you have like special exercises? Is there a cake? One choice. I know some things I think about. I'm not a joiner, but to tell me there's cake, I might come.
Since we do it on Zoom now, you can bring your own cake. But I used to do them in person. And I start out, we call in the directions because I was taught the importance of honoring all the directions and all life. So, and I want to teach women how to pray and call in the directions to get support, because we can get a lot of support from nature and Mother Earth. And, you know, when people let you down, when people let me down, I'm speaking from experience, that I learned in the Sacred Run, Dennis Banks, the Indigenous elder, said, as long as there's one eagle, you have a friend. You're never alone. And I felt very alone making that film. So I went to nature to heal and to give me strength. And I continue to do that. And so I teach women, a lot of people exactly like in the city, they don't exactly have enough time walking in a forest. So they don't really connect with the earth because there's so much pavement and, you know, stores and shopping and whatever. They just get caught up in the material world because they don't have that connection to earth. So I do things, we call in the directions, and I do a guided meditation or a shamanic journey with drumming. I love doing those. And I will focus on a theme. So each circle has a different theme. And for example, the 9-week sister circle program I just finished was each week we did a different chakra. So we explored the issues of the root chakra to start with, or the earth star is what we started with. And we share about our relationship to that chakra and where we were blocked, or are you lacking security? Are you afraid? What happened? You know, we share deeply how we got wounded in these places. And like, I've always lived from the heart up, but I never had a lot of confidence in my solar plexus was not strong. And I was sexually abused as a child. So all my lower three chakras are, you know, were needed healing, right? And so I know, like, doing this speech, I want to inspire people. And with the sister circles, I stand for their self-empowerment. So I take them through an outline, whatever that outline is. And we do different things. Like sometimes we write things on paper that we want to release and we burn them. Sometimes we paint a mandala. But it always involves sharing and some form of meditation and a ritual and a ceremony and just witnessing each other, because you realize, oh my gosh, I thought I was alone feeling so insecure. And then you find out that everybody feels insecure, or everybody's suffering in some way, right? Because we're human. So the dragonfly coaching circles that I'm going to be starting in August, actually, August 2nd, will be 90-minute coaching circles where I actually give coaching. Whereas the sister circles, it's more like I hold space and facilitate moving through the material. But in the coaching circles, I'm actually going to be giving coaching to whoever wishes to be coached. Some people might just come and say, you know, I just feel like sitting here and listening. I don't really need to share anything today. It's to create community from the heart. And in the Indigenous, when I read about the Hopi prophecy when I was like 21 years old, they talked about that we were going to be living this time now. And I was like, oh my God, I'll be 60 years old when that time happens. And here I am at 60 and it's happening. We're living in this huge transformational time, and we're shifting from the Piscean age to the Aquarian age. And I'm a 7-planet Aquarian. So
you have the 7 planets in one sign.
Yes. I'm a stellium Aquarian.
You're so open-minded. That's what that says to me. Anyway, I was married to an Aquarian. Very open-minded, these people.
Sagittarius rising and a Pisces moon. So I'm very, I want to make the world a better place. And I realize that I can really help people shift from living in their heads. Like one of my clients told me he was suicidal until he worked with me. And he thanks me all the time because he was forgetting that he's a soul. He was forgetting that he's an infinite being here on earth to share his gifts and live from an open heart. And that's what the Hopi prophecy said, is we must return to the path, the one-hearted path, where we're connected to the earth and divine source. And if we just go into technology, which is sort of another side of Aquarian energy, the technology, but if we only go with technology, we're going to self-destruct. And that's what I was fearful of when I was 21 years old. So I was taken down by sisters and I was afraid to speak up. I was afraid to get on stage again. And I've been stabbed in the back so many times. I'm now like, I created a force field. Like I am just no longer going to play small because we need every single human being to remember their infinite soul, that they are here for a reason and they have gifts to share with everybody. So I want to help people by helping them remember.
Helping them raise their consciousness. I think so often, you know, as a woman, and we've all overcome, most women, when you get to a certain age, once you get to that 50, 60, 65, even before that, in some cases, some people get that way by the time they're 10 years old. You know, I think that there's this, what I've noticed, what I've observed is with other women, you know, is that we tend to have a tendency to downplay ourselves. I've seen women be very self-deprecating. So I imagine that someone like that coming to your group could overcome those deficits that are somewhat self-imposed very often.
Absolutely. Your thoughts create your emotions and your reality. And if you are living in a story that you, which I was when I was depressed, I thought I was a complete loser and I thought I wasn't meant for this world. And I just thought I want to go back to the stars. But that's the thing, is so many people have so many gifts, but they're sensitive or they're shy or they're afraid. And I want to give them a hand or show them a light, because so many people have been wounded, right? Most, if you're a human, you've probably been wounded at some point in your life. And that's what, but it's the rising up. It's the phoenix rising, the hero's journey, the heroine's journey. We all love those movies where someone falls, but then they get up and they keep going. And that's where I'm at now, is I'm at 60 years old. I'm no longer, you know, I used to be made fun of when I was a child because I was always feeling energy. I could see ghosts. I was very sensitive. I had dreams. I could see dead people. Like, I've always been in clairvoyant, clairsentient, clairaudient, and I was laughed at and made fun of. And I've always been into peace and environmental awareness. And people are like, there's no such thing as peace. Well, yes, there is. And it starts within us. So, you know, the expression, we are the ones we've been waiting for. And we all have a chance now to be the change that we wish to see.
Yeah, the change, you have to be the change that you wish to see. You have to be that person you wish to meet.
Yeah, you have to love yourself. If you don't love yourself and you don't live in a good way and you know, then you don't attract that. So it's, we have to heal and come into compassion and self-love. And I had to go through inner child healing, shadow facing my shadows, self-love, compassion. Compassion is so huge.
Yeah, compassion is huge. I would say compassion with an action after it makes compassion more meaningful. Compassion. Action. You're going to be compassionate. What are you going to do for that person, no matter how small? I think it's very interesting that this group is, it almost seems to me like a safe haven, your groups.
Yes.
Now, we talked about being stabbed in the back. And, you know, I think that at the beginning, the audience might think stabbed in the back, but is she talking metaphorically? I think so. So what does one do to protect themselves from that? Because so often as you achieve things, and this happens to women, in my experience, and women that I know a lot, you achieve a certain level, or even people that are famous that rise up and you might not agree with what they have to say. But what is it about women that stab women in the back?
Well, I would say it's because they're in pain and they're not in their power and they haven't healed. Unless they're maybe a narcissist, then sometimes, but even narcissists they're wounded, right? They have a very false sense of ego. So they're very fragile. So that's where compassion comes in, that I don't, you know, hate these women. It's just that at first I was so hurt, but then eventually I got to the place like, oh, okay, they're really wounded, because when you're happy and you're in your heart, you don't hurt other people. You love. Now I have compassion, but I almost let them take me down, but I'm not going to let anyone take me down anymore.
I'd say they're unable to do it. So I'm just thinking about with the backstabbing, because I know that people listening to this, there are people listening to this can relate to that. It seems that people that tend to be overachievers in a certain area, people that tend to be somewhat intuitive or relatively intuitive or various degrees of intuitiveness, very often they would express being under attack.
Well, that's true. If you're a sensitive person, you feel it more, right? What I did is I often wondered, how do I deal with this? How, you know, because I don't like to fight. I'm a lover, not a fighter. I don't like to fight back, right? And so what I did is I just went within. I meditate every day. And do you know what the Taurus is? T-O-R-U-S. It's your electromagnetic field. And it's like a bubble around us and, you know, going up through our chakras and around and just around and around like an apple, like we have like an apple energy around us, for those who might not know. And so I started imagining that if I filled my Taurus, my magnetic bubble, with love and compassion, then any the slings and arrows they wouldn't be able to pierce my energy field, because I was filling myself up with love. And whereas if I start feeling small, then they have the power over me. It's up to me to hold space and like hold the energy. So their words, their arrows, their slings don't pierce me anymore. They used to pierce right into my soul. It was so painful, because I always thought we were brothers and sisters here together. You know, I always just thought we were here to love each other. And so I was really baffled when people were so mean. But another thing is, you know, when you're in your happy place, you're able to have compassion. And that's why it's so important to love yourself and be, not, you know, not in an egotistical way, but in a true love. And we've grown up in, you know, the products of the Victorian age, which is like, you're sinners, you're bad, you're like, you know, you're gonna go to hell. I mean, there's so much, the patriarchy diminished us so much and made us sinners from birth. You know, how can a little baby be a sinner, right? And I mean, I'm spiritual, I'm not religious, but I went to Unitarian Church. But I think we're shifting. I think, you know, Christianity is shifting in that way too, that, you know, we're letting go of this power over, and we're learning to tap into the power within and lead from our hearts, because there's so much strife and horrible things. I think it's cracking people open. And I just want to share something quickly, is that I showed my film at the Sacred Water Gathering in Peterborough, Ontario. It was a gathering with Indigenous people from all over the world. And at the end, we had ceremony every day and sunrise ceremony and different people talking. And I showed my film. And at the end, we were told to share what we were bringing out to the world. And there was a woman that just, her voice changed in the middle of her talk. And I was kind of surprised. And a voice came out of her that did not sound like her voice. And it sounded like Gaia. And the voice said, I am water. You are water. Everything is water. If you do not change your ways, I will crack you open. And I'm not even saying it as powerful as it was. I mean, I was like shaking. And I thought, oh my goodness, that was Gaia coming up from this woman's voice. And I think that's what Gaia is doing right now, is we're being cracked open, so that our hearts can come forward. Because if you're always protecting your heart, you know, your heart doesn't open.
So it explains why learning about the chakras is so important, and I do agree with you in that. I want to have you back on the show, Andrea, at some point to just expand on this, to talk about it more. It's a big subject. It speaks to me, okay, because I'm really into that. It took me a while to realize how important the chakras are, and I do regular toning and healing of my chakras as well and opening. But on that note, I'm going to say to the audience, open up your solar plexus, open up your crown chakra, receive all the goodness, let it come through, and heal your root. And we'll expand on that because I want to talk about it more in the next time I interview you, Andrea. And you're so generous of spirit. I'll never stab you in the back. I can empathize.
Thank you.
You know? And so if someone stabs you in the back, it's because you've got something they want. And it's something really important that they want, but you should really be able to protect yourself. So I'm going to recommend people go to Andrea Sadler's Dragonfly Circle, the Women's Circle, and be in touch with her. What's your email address? And we'll just really quickly so we can let everybody know where to find you.
So it's A Dragonfly Sadler, S-A-D-L-E-R, @gmail.com. And my film website is www.dragonflyfilms.ca because I'm from Canada, so it's not .com. There's another dragonflyfilms.com, but I'm .ca.
No, Canada's a beautiful place. I've been there. I love it. But thank you so much, Andrea, for coming on the show.
Can I just add something, Tony? And the Facebook group is called Dragonfly Sistership Transformational Circles, Retreats, and Coaching.
Let's hear for the women, and let's all be sisters and brothers together. Thank you so much, and good luck when you make your speech at the WYN conference.
Yes, and everyone can come because it's online and it's in person in New York, or you can just buy tickets to go online. And there's going to be women from all over the world speaking, like really amazing, empowered women. So I hope people come.
It is a meeting of the minds, I've been assured, as I've been researching that group. And I really thank you so much, Andrea, for coming on. We'll have to have you on again. You can give my audience another lesson and talk more about the chakras and how important it is. But thanks again. And I'll say goodnight to the audience. Thanks for coming to the Talk with TQ and Energy Stoners Cafe. This is a double right here. And I'll see you next time. I promise to bring the most interesting people I can find on the planet. Good night. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Energy Stoners Cafe.